St. Mark tells us that Jesus went to the house of Simon Peter and Andrew, and he found Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever. And he took her by the hand and raised her. The fever left, and then she began to serve them. I think we can say that Jesus' entire mission to you and me is symbolically portrayed or captured in this short little episode. Jesus, who comes to us from God the Father, he visited people's homes on earth, and he found in us a humanity that was sick, a humanity sick with fever, a fever of all kinds of things, caused by all kinds of things. Today, and at that time, it was ideologies, idolatry, forgetfulness of God. That's one of the fevers that's always around. But in every case, the Lord gives us his hand. He lifts us up. We who were dead to our sins, as St. Paul puts it, and he heals us. And the Lord does this in all ages in different ways. Heals us of whatever fog it is that we might be in. Taking us by the hand, certainly now, in the sacraments, healing us through absolution in the sacrament of reconciliation, giving us the possibility of standing before God and before one another healed. And he heals us again and again with the gift of his words, with the gift of himself. And when we remember that he heals us with the gift of himself, it's a reminder that every Mass is a healing Mass. Every Mass is a healing Mass. And the Gospel, in this little account, also mentions something I think that's very important to all of us in a parish. We're told that the woman who had been healed, she then got up and began to serve them. And she sets to work immediately to make herself available to others. And as Pope Benedict has pointed out, and when he looks at this passage, he says that this woman becomes a representative of so many good women who get up and serve and who are the souls of our families, the souls of our parishes, the souls of our communities. And Pope Benedict notes that this episode offers to us all an opportunity and should remind us to say a heartfelt thank you to all the women who care for our parish, who serve us in so many ways, in our families, in our parish, and beyond our parish, and who help us to know the Word of God ever anew, not only with our minds, but to know the Word of God in our hearts. I'd like to pick up on something else that St. Mark gives us in the Gospel. And he writes that the very next morning, Jesus rose very early and went off to a deserted place to pray. And again in the Gospels, we see that Jesus needed to go off to be alone in prayer. Sometimes this might mean staying up late for prayer, as he did in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before his crucifixion. We see in the Gospels that his human life is basically inconceivable without these specific times of prayer. And he prays to abandon himself to the eternal love of God the Father, in which he's already existing with the Holy Spirit. And so I think that St. Mark, in this Gospel passage, implicitly poses a question for you and me. If Jesus, who is a divine person, who was perfect, even though he assumed our human nature, if Jesus, who was perfect, needed prayer in order to fulfill his life's mission, to fulfill the assignment given to him by God the Father, what does that reality imply for you and me? We who are so imperfect, so weak, we who are vulnerable to all kinds of temptations, we who are wounded by every kind of sin. If prayer was essential for Jesus Christ during his mission here on earth, it must be even more essential for you and me who are his very less than perfect followers. Some of you know the story, or have heard of it in any event, the story about the Archbishop of Saigon in Vietnam, who was arrested in August 1975, soon after South Vietnam fell to communist forces. And Archbishop Francis Van Thuan, after his arrest, he ended up spending 13 years in communist prisons, re-education camps, in all kinds of situations. And of those 13 years, the Archbishop was put in solitary confinement for 9 years. And as a prisoner, he was able not only to maintain his faith and his sanity, but he also secretly wrote and was able to distribute 3 books. He converted a whole series of prison guards, and his witness gave millions of Catholics in Vietnam much hope. And how did this little man do that? Well, he did it through the strength and love and power that was in his heart for Jesus Christ. The answer is that the Archbishop was a man of deep, deep prayer. And for months at a time, he would be confined to a cell that was too low for him even to be able to stand up straight. And it was too narrow on the floor that he couldn't even lie down fully extended. His cell had no windows. And remember, he's in a tropical climate. And his only ventilation was a rusty drain on the floor. And it was infested with all kinds of centipedes and other crawling, creepy things. But that was the only place where he could get air. And sometimes he had to, simply to get some air, had to put his face against the drain. And at times, so through this ordeal, prayer was his light, and prayer was his strength. And he's written that he's told us that his prayers actually were very simple, nothing very complicated. And he would just typically repeat short prayers, phrases, verses from the Bible over and over and over again. And some of his favorites were these: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I am the servant of the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And so he would feed his soul on these simple words, mulling them over and over again, letting them sink in. And he was able to make sense of his sufferings, letting God speak to him through these short prayers. So prayer was literally his lifeline in this horrible situation, as prayer was for Jesus Christ, and as it should be for you and me. Now, how, after all, can you and I follow someone if we don't take adequate time to listen to him, to talk to him about our difficulties, our dreams, our duties, our responsibilities? An ongoing, heartfelt conversation with Jesus Christ must be built on the pillars for us of certainly the sacraments and on some time alone with him every day. And if we aren't used to a regular routine of prayer, we probably need to begin with at least 15 minutes or so of prayer a day. It requires a very firm commitment from us, a commitment that will be all the more successful if we have others to help us keep accountable, perhaps others in our families, others among our Catholic friends, real friends who encourage one another to grow deeper in the practice of their faith, and particularly to be taking time with the Lord in prayer. Remember that when Jesus chose his followers, he brought them together, certainly initially in a group of 12, And then we read that he typically sent them out on mission in twos. And he knew that none of them, like none of us, is going to be able to make it alone. If we do not pray sincerely, then it's possible that we might be able to know a lot of things about Jesus. We might even be able to do a lot of things that look Christian, but we will not know Jesus himself. If our faith is not an overflowing of the knowledge and the love of Christ that comes out of prayer, then it will inevitably become a burden that is very heavy and is very empty. And today, as Jesus renews his commitment to each one of us in this Holy Mass, let us renew our commitment to him and to our commitment to a more intense daily prayer and a commitment to Christ-centered friendships that will help each one of us grow closer to him.